You may have heard of the Green Revolution, that movement to increase agricultural production in developing countries. But what about the Brown Revolution? According to its proponents, it's taking hold from the western plains of the U.S. to the plains of Africa. And they say it can prevent global catastrophe by changing the way animals graze. The results include naturally restored lands, improved water tables, and a reduction in global warming by increasing organic matter and carbon in soil. Rancher Jim Howell joins us from Colorado. Jim is co-founder and CEO of Grasslands LLC, which attracts venture capital and runs educational programs to further the Brown Revolution movement. Jim, welcome.
Hello.
And Brandon Dalton. And Brandon, I understand you are on a cell phone on a hilltop in South Dakota?
That's correct.
Good. So we'll hope for a good connection. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Jim, a question first for you. You have a cattle ranch in Colorado that's been in your family since the late 1800s, I believe. But these days, you're also spending time advocating for a Brown Revolution, something also called holistic land management. Explain what it is and how it works.
So the Brown Revolution's intent is to refocus our efforts on the soil, hence brown, refocusing our efforts on the soil as opposed to the plants that grow above the soils, although that's a huge part of the equation. But the idea is just to get us thinking about soil health, soil integrity, sequestered carbon in the soil, keeping the soil intact where it needs to be as opposed to running off into rivers.
Jim, the basic premise of holistic management is to use livestock like wild animals. How so?
Well, in a natural context, wild animals stay bunched and moving as a defense mechanism against predation. That concentrates their dung and urine and their trampling. No animal likes to feed on fouled ground, and so they're constantly moving onto fresh patches of land. In the meantime, the land that has been trampled and grazed has the time to recover before the wild herbivores return to that spot. And it's the presence of the predators that stimulate that herding migratory behavior. It's the trampling and the grazing that's critical, as well as the recovery period that follows the grazing and trampling that is critical. And so in the management of our domestic livestock, we try to mimic that wild herding behavior. With the presence and the infusion of the herbivores, it keeps all that carbon that would normally be locked up in decadent dead plants cycling back onto the soil surface as prostrate litter, you know, dead plant material covering the soil surface, and as dung and urine, which keeps the carbon and the nutrient cycling.
So, Jim, what can ranchers do to simulate what you just described?
Well, we use our livestock, our cattle, our sheep, and our goats as surrogates for the wild animals that would have been in these landscapes, in these grassland landscapes originally. And we have a very detailed grazing planning procedure, which takes into account the needs of the animals, but also the recovery needs of the plants, growth rates of plants as the year progresses. All of these factors come together in terms of how we plan, how we move these big herds of our own domestic livestock across the landscape. And so that's done with a combination of fencing. A lot of it's permanent fencing, but most of what we're using is portable electric fence that's just one flimsy wire that we move around wherever we need it to control when and where the animals are. So the whole idea is to get these big herds of animals to the right place at the right time for the right reasons within the context of our ranches, which are not just ecologically driven, but also economically driven and socially driven by the unique values of the humans that are living on those places. And that's really what holistic management does, is bring all that together.
Brandon Dalton, when the Brown Revolution is talked about, the term holistic land management comes up a lot, and so does the term anti-desertification, the idea that you're trying to prevent land from turning into desert, prevent the creation of new desert. Can you give us a sense of what land would look like before and after holistic management? So if you apply this to something that's desert-like, then what happens?
Many of the rangelands that I've worked on in Wyoming, South Dakota, and Montana are characterized by a lot of bare ground, weed infestations, dead and dying plants. Those are symptoms of desertification, where basically the landscape has lost its capacity to maintain life. And a lot of times those lands are losing soil at a rapid pace. And so that's what desertification is.
And then the process that Jim Howell just laid out for us, how does what you do prevent that from happening?
Well, it's pretty simple. We're essentially trying to recreate a grazing ecosystem where we keep our animals bunched and moving across the landscape. And that stimulates a lot of those dead and dying plants to, well, the ones that are still alive can regenerate, regrow, and become quite a bit healthier with an influx of nutrients. The other thing that it does is that hoof action will open up spaces for seed seeds to germinate. So there's a lot of seeds on the soil, even in the lands that are in the worst condition. And if those seeds are put in the right conditions, they'll germinate and grow into plants.
So, Jim Howell, when holistic land management is done successfully, what does a success look like?
On the ground, it looks like decreased amounts of bare soil. So instead of these bare soils that are prone to surface evaporation of moisture and erosion and the runoff of moisture, when a raindrop hits the soil surface, it soaks in. It soaks down into the soil profile where it can either nourish plant roots or it can gradually trickle down into underground water aquifers, which is a good thing. So that's one thing. Another is just more diversity of life in the form of plants in terms of diversity of different species of grasses and forbs and shrubs, but also all the insects and other small animals associated with a more diverse ecosystem like that. So when you come onto a landscape that's been managed this way, that's what jumps out at you is the efficiency of these ecosystem processes, and it's just a more vibrant, healthy landscape.
And Brandon and Jim, because part of your goal is fighting climate change and addressing water shortages, how does adding organic matter back in the soil help with those two goals?
This is Brandon. Basically, sucking carbon out of the air and putting it below ground where it's functioning as part of a productive ecosystem is probably the best tool we have, the best strategy we have for mitigating climate change.
Is this where the term sequestering carbon comes in?
That's correct. Taking carbon out of the air and putting it below ground where it will stay and actually function as part of an ecosystem.
Jim Howell of Colorado, so far the way you've tried to get this brown revolution to spread is by just buying up a bunch of land. But of course that requires a lot of money, and you have raised a lot of money from investors. But is that a practical way to get the revolution to spread long term?
Well, no, that's just one piece of the puzzle for sure. Education and spreading this through education and through teaching specifically in the developing world countries, that's really what needs to happen. Investors aren't going to go in and buy massive chunks of Africa, although it's happening to a certain extent in parts of Africa, but that's not our focus there. Our focus there is to work with these communal lands, pastoral communities, to interact with their environment in a way that is more akin to what we do in holistic management, and will gradually increase the effectiveness of these ecosystem processes and the health of the land and the carbon that we end up sequestering.
Jim Howell is a rancher and co-founder of the Grassland Foundation in Colorado. Brandon Dalton is also a rancher, and he's a wildlife biologist in South Dakota. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.